Ever wondered how a book gets made into a movie?
Or how to master the art of cooking?
Either way, we've got you covered with the Two Guys from Hollywood podcast. I'm Alan Nevins, a literary agent and talent manager.
And I'm Joey Santos, a columnist and celebrity chef.
On our podcast, we're going to be serving you a fresh perspective of the entertainment industry alongside our favorite celebrity guests.
As we like to say, we don't dish, we serve.
Listen and follow Two Guys from Hollywood on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll talk at you soon.
Scumbags! Rage!
Sports Rage with Gabe Morenci.
Rage all you want.
This is Sports Rage. I am Gabe Morenci. The pimps, the players, the hustlers, the people that bust up and everybody else in between throwing it down. The Sunday night sports mass has begun, and it was a wild one, to say the least, as Jamal Murray drops another 50 and puts the Denver Nuggets on his back. We have a game seven. Utah and Denver will be throwing it down, a 119-107 victory for the Denver Nuggets in what's been a crazy series, a real old-school Wild West duel between Spider Mitchell and Jamal Murray. Mitchell goes off for like 44 and then goes off and starts destroying things after the basketball game. Emotions are now running high in the NBA bubble, and it's great stuff. We break it down. Big man on campus will step up and in. We'll talk NBA basketball as the Boston Celtics punch the Toronto Raptors in the mouth again, as the Boston Celtics might have figured something out, like the only team in the league that's been able to figure something out, as the Boston Celtics have actually beaten the Toronto Raptors four of the last five times they've played, and they beat them rather easily today, 112-94. Toronto Raptors, though, have been in this position before. As we all know, the Raptors are actually just now 3-15 in their last 18 game ones, all right? So the Raptors over the years have often lost the first game of series. Hell, they lost the first game of the playoffs last year to the Orlando Magic. We know how the playoffs ended last year. So no time for panic right now for the Toronto Raptors. But I'll tell you what, the Raptors have an advantage on the glass over the Boston Celtics, but your advantage on the glass doesn't mean anything if the other team hits their shots. And Boston are lighting it up right now, shooting lights out. Boston gets a big game one victory. It's all over. The Clippers get it done. The Los Angeles Clippers move on. You have to wonder if things would have been a little bit different with Porzingis on the court throughout the entire series, but probably not. The Dallas Mavericks are definitely a team to keep your eye on moving forward. And now I tell you what, it's up to Mark Cuban. It's up to Mark Cuban to step up and give his young superstars some more help, because the Mavericks are that close. NHL hockey, the New York Islanders are getting close, lighting it up, getting it done. Big man on campus will step up and in. You can too. Sports Rage late night. Vent your rage. Bring it.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Have you written a book and need some insight into what comes next?
Or are you passionate about cooking and want to know how to make it your career?
Or maybe you just want to hear insider stories about the entertainment industry. Either way, we've got you covered with the Two Guys from Hollywood podcast. I'm Alan Nevins, a literary agent and talent manager.
And I'm Joey Santos, a columnist and celebrity chef. And on our podcast, Two Guys from Hollywood, we bring our expertise to the table with, of course, delicious cocktails and all kinds of recipes for you to try at home.
So grab a drink and join us. We've got a wide range of celebrity guests and Hollywood insiders to discuss pop culture, publishing, and entertainment. And we'll provide you with an unfiltered and sometimes brutally honest show about Hollywood.
As we like to say, we don't dish, we serve.
Listen and follow Two Guys from Hollywood on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll talk at you soon.
You're listening to Sports Rage with Gabe Morenci.
Sports Rage late night continues. I am Gabe Morenci. Vent your rage, 844 843-6879. George Kurtz will step up and in. We'll talk some NHL hockey, some NFL football. Vegas Maddie will step up and in. Super contest proxy from Las Vegas. Obviously, if his name is Vegas Maddie, he's kicking it in Las Vegas. We'll talk about some of these contests, the super contests, and everything else that's around the corner. The National Football League regular season starts in a little more than 2 weeks. So it's time, as Bruce Buffer would say. Unfortunately, the Portland Trailblazers did not get the message that it was time this evening. Absolutely no sense of urgency whatsoever from the Blazers. Now, listen, there's no shame in losing. As Vince Lombardi, you know, stated years ago, there's no shame in getting knocked down. The only shame is staying down. And I'll never call a team out for losing. You know, you look at the Indiana Pacers. The Pacers lost again to the Miami Heat, but it wasn't due to a lack of effort. They just, quite frankly, weren't good enough. It wasn't due to a lack of effort. Like, if you're the Portland Trailblazers, like, you went through, you know, you went to hell and back to get into the playoffs. You know, you played great basketball to get there. And once you've gotten here, and it seems like you're disinterested right now. And I don't want to hear about Zach Collins' injury anymore. Like, I get it. Zach Collins is a good basketball player. Zach Collins is not like Michael Jordan, all right? He's not Scottie Pippen. Like basically, well, if Zach Collins was, you know, if Zach Collins was playing, like, yeah, whatever. So if Zach Collins is there, what? They lose by 17 instead of 20? How many points is Zach Collins really worth to the Portland Trailblazers? Let's be real. And I get it. He's a good basketball player. But I get, listen, the Lakers are good, and it's an 8-1. And the reality of the situation is the Portland Trailblazers are getting run out of the gym by a better basketball team right now. But I, like I said, I don't have a problem with losing. I don't have a problem with teams losing. It's when you see just an aloofness and a disinterest in which you're the Portland Trailblazers. Like, things started off great tonight. Things started off great tonight for the Blazers, and then the game started. And then it was 2-0, then it was 5-0, then it was 7-0, then it was 10-0, then it was 12-0, then it was 15-0. And, you know, you can get away with that. You can get away with being down 10-0 if you're a basketball team. All right. You can get away with giving up the first 13 points of a basketball game, but you've got to get it back. And you can't let it turn into 20-4 and then 26-6. I mean, like, really, the Portland Trailblazers were down by 21 points after the first quarter. They were 2.5-point underdogs in the first quarter. You know, you were 2.5-point underdogs. You're down by 21. Like, the expectation was that, all right, if you guys don't win the quarter, at least, you know, you're going to be there. It's not easy to be down 21 points after 12 minutes. Like, you almost have to work at it to be that bad. As I stated, these guys folded faster than Superman on laundry day, all right? They had the urgency of a sloth, a drunk sloth. This is the NBA playoffs. You're playing against the Los Angeles Lakers on Mamba night, 8:24. 8:24, and you guys are down 15-0 to start the basketball game. And look at the final score and look at the basketball game. That was the first quarter. That was the difference. You're not playing against the Sacramento Kings here, guys. You're not playing against the Pelicans. You're not playing against the Memphis Grizzlies. You can't spot the Los Angeles Lakers 21 points and then expect to come back after in the next 36 minutes. So it's 48 minutes in the game, 12 minutes a quarter. You guys down 21 after the first 12. Yeah. Like, you're going to outscore them by 21 points now in the next 36 minutes. Like, the lack of urgency to start this basketball game was just, quite frankly, an embarrassment. Yet the Los Angeles Lakers, you have to give them credit. We can pick apart the Portland Trailblazers all we want, but the Lakers came to play, and the Lakers have come to play after the game one embarrassment in which they only scored 93 points. They have responded. Danny Green is starting to hit some shots right now. Rajon Rondo's return is soon, and you know You know that even though the Dallas Mavericks would be a dangerous team for anybody moving forward, if the Mavericks are able to beat the Los Angeles Clippers. But with that being stated, you know LeBron James would prefer to play anybody else besides Kawhi Leonard. Now they haven't played in a series that matters in a little while. You remember LeBron did win a championship with the Miami Heat over the San Antonio Spurs, but it's a new world right now. And at least from what we saw this year, Kawhi got the better of them. I know the Lakers won that game in the bubble the first night back, but if you're LeBron James, like you pretty much believe that you could beat anybody in the NBA to begin with. Yet Kawhi has to be that one guy that you don't want to have to play. Yeah, and it would just make the Los Angeles Lakers' lives easier. Now, you know, there's different levels to this stuff, man. There really is. And you see this as playoffs advance in sport by sport. You see it in the National Hockey League, and you see it in the NBA as well, in which, you know, teams will advance, and the teams that lose are just overmatched. Like, you know, let's look at this. Like, you look at the Pacers. They just got swept. Like, you know what I mean? Like, they couldn't win. And props to Teddy Covers, who joined us before the playoffs started and said that's the series that he likes the most, that Indiana are no match for the Miami Heat. And we got to give props to the Miami Heat. If you look at, you know, if you want to grade the teams, the Toronto Raptors... Now, the Toronto Raptors had a great series against Brooklyn, but Brooklyn, let's be real. Brooklyn were rolling out a G League roster, so you can't give a ton of credit to the Toronto Raptors for what they did. There's been some great teams and some great performances, Utah being one of them. Utah's looked great. Yet the Miami Heat, if we're giving report cards here, you have to give an A+. A+ to the Miami Heat. It's like not just A+. Come on, they swept. They won by an average of double digits. They swept the four games, and not like they're playing the Orlando Magic. It's not like they're playing the Brooklyn Nets. The Pacers are a decent basketball team that really just got manhandled by the Miami Heat. And, you know, it's always easy to watch a series, and we always remember what we saw last and say, oh, this team's going to win. But, you know, from what we've seen from Milwaukee, and, you know, Milwaukee covered today, barely. A bad beat for people that had the Orlando Magic plus the points. Late free throws. Late free throws. Yet that's what got it to 227 for the push for the total. But anybody that's watched Milwaukee in a bubble from the bubble games to now even the playoff games, if, you know, and I know a lot of people aren't watching these games because, you know, they're the early games and it's kind of ugly and stuff, but if you're not paying attention to this, these games are closer than the final score indicate even. Like, you look and you see, Milwaukee won by 15. It's like, yeah, you know, Orlando were in the game, man. Like, Orlando are giving Milwaukee problems. And I think Milwaukee are going to have problems moving forward. I don't think they're making it to the finals. I think it's going to be Toronto and Miami in the Eastern Conference Finals that play each other. I think the Toronto Raptors are going to beat the Boston Celtics. And then I believe the Miami Heat will beat the Milwaukee Bucks. And we'll have a Miami and Toronto Eastern Conference Finals when it's all said and done. But there's a lot of basketball to be played. And I know that the Boston Celtics are going to give the Raptors all that they can handle. We've talked about the history, and we're going to get into the series as the week progresses. New York Islanders kickstart their series with a win over the Philadelphia Flyers. Flyers pulled their goalie with like 7 minutes left. Sports Rage Late Night continues. Bring it.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Hey everyone, it's Michelle Williams, and I love being able to share my story with you on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, where my guests and I get real as we share the ups and downs of our mental health journeys, and I'd love for you to join me. I'm still on my own journey, but I want to be transparent with you because as I was posting all the highlights of my life on social media, I was breaking down. And too many people fall victim to the picture-perfect image of the high life, so I created a space to discuss the good and the bad. We can laugh, man. We gonna learn, and most of all, I hope to inspire you to go on this journey with me to better mental health. This is gonna be your church, your turn-up, and everything in between. So join me on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, a safe space for every kind of person. Listen to Checking In with Michelle Williams every Tuesday, a part of the Black Effect on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Rage it up. Sports Rage with Gabe Morenci. Rage all you want.
I'm a rageaholic. I just can't live without rageahol.
Sports Rage late night. I am Gable Morenci. Brutal day in the city of brotherly love. The Philadelphia Flyers get shut out by the New York Islanders. Brett Brown out as head coach of the Philadelphia 76ers after seven seasons. Although it's probably a joyous day for Philadelphia 76er fans who have been very frustrated by Brett Brown yet. I don't blame him as much as Philadelphia 76er fans do. I get it. You know, people are not going to like a coach, but the Philadelphia 76er chemistry sucks, and the roster blows. It's not the coach's fault, all right? That's not the coach's fault. That's the organization. That's the general manager. That's the player development. That's the scouts. That's not Brett Brown. A change needed to happen, but let's not pretend that, like, Brett Brown's Richie Kotite or something like that right now. So Philadelphia 76ers have some work to do, and the Philadelphia Flyers have some work to do right now. After dropping game one to the New York Islanders, George Kurtz steps up and in from the island right now. And George, it's almost unfathomable, actually, that somehow the New York Islanders and the Philadelphia Flyers had not played in the playoffs since 1987. Like, that's a long time. So what are we talking, 33 years here? Like, 33 years, George. Like, you figure, like, it would have happened once, twice. There would have been a series. And, remember, they did play in 2001. Or, like, no, hard to believe, George. First time since 1987.
Yeah, I said the same thing on my Twitter account earlier today. I mean, I was a senior in high school the last time they played a playoff series, and I never would have guessed. If you would have told me when was the last time the Islanders and Flyers had played, I mean, I think I'd have guessed maybe the early 2000s, like you said, or maybe even the early 90s. The Islanders were terrible for a long time, where they go 8, 9, 10 years without making the playoffs. And Philly had their own problems, so maybe we shouldn't be so shocked. But, yeah, that caught me off guard as well, Gabe.
Yeah, but come on. Like, you know, I mean, like I said, for 33 years, so yeah, you were a senior in high school, and I had just dropped out of high school in that time. I remember it well, though. I remember the era well. Great, you know, the Montreal Canadiens, of course, won a cup in 1986. You had the great Canada Cup with Dale Hawerchuk, just passed away, actually, was on the ice with Mario and Wayne Gretzky. They beat Team Russia in the Canada Cup in 87. So, yeah, it's just hard to believe that their paths couldn't have crossed. But as you stated, they weren't very good. The Islanders haven't been good for, you know, a long time, and the Flyers have just sort of been mediocre. You're right. So as far as tonight is concerned, listen, I watched the Philadelphia Flyers very, very closely. I saw every minute of the series against the Montreal Canadiens, and the Montreal Canadiens were the better team, George. Like, 5-on-5, they were the better team. The league, you know, the Canadiens got screwed, like, in every game, basically, by the referees. Like, the Flyers had a million power play opportunities, couldn't take advantage. Like, it's kind of, like, I don't know if you saw how many goalposts and crossbars the Montreal Canadiens hit in that series. Like, literally 12 to 15 of them, George, if not 20.
They literally hit like seven posts in one game once. Philadelphia was offensively challenged. Their power play is anemic. I like the Islanders here. I don't think Philadelphia is that great. The Islanders playing good hockey. Now they have one game under their belt. What do you think?
Well, remember what we talked last week about, should we be upset about the Lightning? Yeah, they won the series, but they didn't look good doing so. We could say the same thing about the Flyers. Yes, they beat the Canadiens, but they didn't look good doing so. They sort of, I don't want to say played down to their level, but they shrunk somewhere. Well, they didn't play very well. I think
that was a 12 seed versus a 1 seed, George. Let's be real. It didn't look like it.
That's a blowout. No, it didn't. I think you need to be more. I wasn't impressed by them. That's the bottom line here. And I think also everything you said is true. I don't think the Canadiens had any puck luck, and the officiating was, shall we say, interesting. But I also thought, if Carey Price would have played his best games, I don't think he played very well. And yet they were still in the series. I thought Carey Price, maybe he was played 80% of what he can actually do, but I didn't think he had a very good series. He was letting in
the last two
goals
games,
every
right.
game.
When they needed him,
yeah, I was
Game 5 and Game 6, he wasn't great. Like, he just wasn't. You're right.
No, he wasn't. He wasn't. And I think that's, I think the Flyers in some way caught a break. They had all the puck luck. They had the calls from the refs, and Carey Price wasn't Carey Price. If two of those three things don't happen, the Flyers may not be here right now.
It's amazing, isn't it, how the pandemic has affected teams in different ways. And literally, there's not a team that gained the most from this, in which it saved their season the most. I mean, let's be real, George. Like, the New York Islanders, they were falling apart. Like, they were falling apart at the pace that they were going. They weren't going to make the playoffs. They were a completely different team from... They were doing the opposite of everything that Trotz wanted them to do. They did have a lot of injuries as well, but the season was going horribly. and it was falling apart for them. The league shuts down, and here they are right now. They've recaptured. They look like the team that they were 2 years ago now, George, again.
Well, I'm the first to admit, Gabe, when the pandemic hit, this was, forget an anvil falling. This was the Coyote, with the big boulder falling on their head over and over again. The Islanders were done. I mean, they were just done. They had lost 7 straight and 11 of 12 when play stopped. All right, they weren't going to make the playoffs because that wasn't going to get any better. You said the reason why, the injuries. Those guys weren't close to coming back. It was Cizikas, it was Clutterbuck, Adam Pellich. Pellich was gone for the rest of the regular season. The other two might have returned in a week or two with a season left. But Pellich, it's weird. I mean, no one's going to say, hey, I wish I had Pellich on my team, but the Islanders need him. He is their best defensive defenseman. He's the guy who clears the front of the net. He can hit. He can get the puck out of the zone. He has no offensive capabilities, but he's so important under that Trotz system. And getting him back, he hurt his Achilles. Getting him back to the playoffs was huge for the Islanders. There's no doubt. I completely agree with you. The Islanders were the biggest beneficiary of the 4 or 5 months off.
We have to give credit as well to a great playoff coach, and that's Barry Trotz, who is just a great playoff coach. Like, every series and every game that the New York Islanders go into, they either have a coaching advantage or it's equal, because there's very few that are as good as Coach Trotz is.
Trotz is the definition of why coaching matters. And we say a lot of sports, coaching doesn't matter. Anybody could coach this team. Anybody could coach that team. We know the Islanders are always going to have problems scoring. But you think the Islanders' defense. I mentioned Pellich, Mayfield, Pulak, Letty, Green, Taze. There's nobody going, wow, that's a great defense. There's not a number one there. There's not a number two there. Really, it's a top-line defender. They're a bunch of threes, fours, and bottom-line guys. But Trotz's system, and when this team buys into his system, and they are very tough because they're an annoying, gnat little team that generally keeps the shots to the perimeter. Generally. And when the shots do get good, Varlamov has played very well. So I think Trotz, like I said, that defense that I mentioned here, for the most part, is the same defense that was there the year before Trotz took over, and they were horrendous. They were terrible with Doug Wade, because there was no structure. There was no defensive system. Trotz has done a magnificent job. I think the Capitals just keep proving it over and over again, how silly it was not to give him the extra $1 million a year he wanted.
I thought George Kurtz joining us, Sports Grid, George Kurtz. So I thought, George, the number kind of dictated, and I was hoping, I like the Islanders tonight, and I bet on the Islanders tonight, and I took the under as well. But without being stated, before I looked at the number, I sort of assumed I was going to get plus 120, plus 125. And I got plus 100 with the Islanders, plus 100. And I think that's all you needed to know about what the odds makers thought about the matchup between these two teams. That you sort of throw that seed out. I think the odds makers were less than impressed as well with the Philadelphia Flyers against the Montreal Canadiens. The Islanders are now 5-1 when they score first. The Flyers were flat, four shots on goal in the first period of play. And, George, for underbetters out there, I saw people online, I saw people on Twitter panicking when the Flyers pulled the goalie with so much time left. They're like, oh, God, there goes the under. It's amazing, isn't it? Like, sometimes, dude, they can pull the goalie with, like, 30 seconds left and you can lose and they'll score right away. Other times they'll pull a goalie. Like, it's rare that you see that many minutes, George, right? I remember years ago, Mike Keenan did it out of rage. Basically, the Florida Panthers are really, like, sucking, and their goalie was getting peppered, bro. Like basically, and he called the goalie over, and he said, take a seat, man. And he's like, what? He goes, there's, like, 8 minutes left. And he goes, nah. He goes, just take a seat. Don't worry about it. And he goes, you know what? You guys are going to leave this guy alone. I'm taking him out. I'm not letting him get killed because of you. And the other team didn't score on the Panthers in an empty net for like 8 minutes, George. It's bizarro world, this stuff.
I wouldn't have even remembered that until you just said it, because I was trying to think of the same thing. When was the last time you saw a goalie pull?
Do you remember it now that I bring it up?
The game.
Do you remember, like,
now that you bring it up? Yeah.
Mike Keenan did it out of rage and anger once. Not even to win a game. He was just pissed off.
Yeah, now I remember it. So it's funny you bring that. You do that a lot to me. You make me remember things. Because I was trying to remember that tonight. When was the last time we saw a goalie disappear that early?
And there wasn't even a flood of goals. That's what's amazing. It still went under the number. It still went under. Varlamov, his second straight shutout. Islanders got something cooking. Playing in the afternoon, actually. Earlier game, Wednesday. Sports Rage Late Night continues. George Kurtz kicking it with us. Bring it.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Visit today.
Rage it up. Sports Rage with Gabe Morenci. Rage all you want.
Late Night continues. I am Renzi. Going it down with big man on campus right now. A lot of stuff to get to. Countdown is on NFL football. Not this Thursday, but the following Thursday. A lot of college football news to get to. We talked about it earlier. Ja'Marr Chase has decided to shut it down. LSU Tiger, star wide receiver, decides to opt out and prepare for the National Football League draft. He must not like what he sees from the LSU quarterback situation. This year, but all kidding aside, if you're a star, I totally understand sitting out if you're a college football player. But if you're trying to showcase yourself, then I understand why you would play as well. That's going to be a thing. There's going to be guys that maybe wouldn't have been seen as much that will now be seen. It's sort of like bowl games. I guess it's everyone's personal decision on how they want to approach it, but. Before we get into the football, let's continue with the basketball talk right now. Big man on campus joining us. So big man, you brought Pascal Siakam up last week about how he's got to play better. And he hasn't been bad, but he hasn't been a star, right? Like he's just been another guy. And today he struggled, yet it's not just today. And I don't know, big man, I tell you what, the entire bubble, he's had problems. Like, he's never really gone off. Like, you know what I mean? Like, he had one or two games, 24, 25 type thing, but he's not in a rhythm. And his big problem is he keeps, like, committing cheap fouls all the time. Like, they're not good fouls. They're dumb fouls, frustration fouls. Like, dude, the other day he got two fouls in a span of, like, 18 seconds. It's like, bro, you have to be on the court, Pascal. Like, you can't, like, it's like, you know, he's just not thinking. He's out of sync. I don't know what his deal is, but he's going to have to figure it out because the Raptors just can't win if they only get 13 and Siakam's in foul trouble, big man.
Yeah, and, you know, this is something that I was concerned about in this series. He hasn't really played well in his career against Boston. And, you know, as you said earlier, I mean, they haven't played well against Boston. I mean, you remember early in the bubble, they really struggled. They got out to a big lead, Boston did. You know, but Fred VanVleet didn't play well today. Kyle Lowry struggled a little bit. He actually did, I think, a little bit more than I thought he would. But you look at the Raptors, I mean, 10 for 40 from three. I mean, that's just not good enough. And, Gabe, my issue with Toronto in this series, and something they need to figure out. I don't know how they do it. I mean, the Boston Celtics were 17 for 39 from three. That's 44%. Yep. If you allow a team to shoot that good from three in 39 attempts, you're not going to win. Defensively, Boston was good. They continue to get some good production out of that bench. Robert Williams gave them some great minutes today. Brad Wanamaker. You know, look, when you can get the scoring they did today with a little bit from the bench and a team's 10 for 40 from three, you're going to roll. Raptors just weren't good today. They got to come back to the drawing board, get a little day off here, get some rest, and get back at it. They're a good basketball team. I don't know where they would have been today without, you know, Norman Powell and Serge Ibaka. They would have lost by 35 today if not for those guys.
You know, the Raptors, it's been a problem for them. You know, not just with the Boston Celtics, but during the regular season, they'll often spot teams, 14 points, 12 points, and then come back and just think, well, we'll come back. It'll be all right. Yet, you know, this is the playoffs, and Boston are in a zone right now. You can't spot the Boston Celtics 16 and 19-point leads.
You also, I mean, Boston won by 18, okay? They had 22 turnovers and won by 18. That's alarming. I mean, when a team has 22 turnovers, it shouldn't win a game. But, this is just one of those outlier games. This isn't what the Raptors are. They'll be fine.
That's what I said earlier.
They just need to make sure that, again, the three-point defense is concerning. I mean, they just allow too many. And that's one of the issues I have with the Bucks. You know, facing the Heat. The Heat are a team that are going to knock down shots when they get them. Sometimes it could be a bad matchup, but I expect the Raptors. They'll bounce back. They're better than this.
Yeah, let's not forget, big man, 3-15 in game ones, right? We've been down this road before with this team. Oh, they lost game one. Like,
that's true.
They always lose game one.
That's true.
You know what I mean? Like, they always lose game one, and they've won more than three playoff series, guys, over the years, right? So it's just a weird thing with them in game ones where they often get punched in the mouth. You know, well, from a series perspective right now, FanDuel has the Boston Celtics minus 188. The Toronto Raptors are now plus 152. I think that's a nice value with the Raptors only down one game right now. Getting the Raptors plus 152 in the series moving forward. So speaking of moving forward and speaking of the Miami Heat, it's going to be a fun series. A lot of people are jumping on the bandwagon right now, the Miami Heat bandwagon. The Heat are +5 in game one. The total is 223 points. Miami were very impressive against the Pacers, as we all know, and as you talked about, very good shooting team. You know what I mean? Like, they've got guys that can hit shots, right? You know, Dragic is a little streaky, though. I wonder, though, big man, like, the Heat were really good, but, you know, how good were the Pacers? The Pacers really didn't play, like, I don't know. The Pacers didn't really, they didn't dig down deep. I think, you know, there was talk about the Pacers really didn't want to be there, and it sort of showed kind of. They weren't all in, it didn't seem. Like, that's the best way of putting it. They didn't seem to be all in, the Pacers. The Heat definitely are all in. And, you know, now Milwaukee lays 5 points here. What do you make of a point spread? Is is five enough for you to want to take the Miami Heat here, or are you just going to be looking at them in a series?
Well, I actually grabbed them. I grabbed 5.5 a few hours ago. I thought that was the best number I was going to get, and I grabbed it. Look, Gabe, is it crazy to say that with the current roster that the LA Clippers have with no Patrick Beverley right now, is it safe to say that right now the Miami Heat might be the best team in the NBA right now? I mean, that could change, but right now there's no one playing better than the Heat. There's no one that's been more complete in the bubble than the Heat. There's no one that was more dominant, I feel like, in the first round, really outside of, you know, your Raptors or whoever. But at the end of the day, the Pacers are a pretty good basketball team. They made that group look terrible.
They destroyed them.
When it comes down to it.
They broke their will.
Yeah, the Miami
Heat. They did.
The Miami Heat are, yeah, they did. I mean, they're really just fundamentally good. Everything
you know it's all matchups, big
well,
man, right? You know basketball, you know, as well as anybody. It's all matchups, so... Now Miami face a team that can also hit threes, right? Yet, I like Miami's toughness. That's the thing that makes good Miami good. They're a good three-point shooting team, and they're a really good three-point shooting team, but they've also got toughness. They're not just a bunch of dudes like, you know, sort of like the Blazers. McCollum and Lillard are going to shoot, but, you know, they don't really have anything else. Like, the guys on the outside can shoot for Miami, but then you got to deal like, man, Bam is a beast, man. This kid is good, right? And they got physical players. Jimmy Butler is tenacious and as physical as they get out there. He's real. He's street tough. They've got toughness and shooting. It's a good combination and a good coach.
They're also a terrific rebounding team. They defend at a really high level. And look, I think Eric Spoelstra is a much better coach than Mike Budenholzer. It's pretty simple. I think Adebayo can mark Giannis Antetokounmpo. I think you just have to wall him off and let someone else beat you. Listen, the Milwaukee Bucks give up a lot of threes. The Miami Heat, that's how they create. That's how they score. And someone in your chat saying something, and I think they're dead on the money. Goran Dragic is a criminally underrated basketball player. People don't give him enough credit. He is a terrific player on that team. He fits them perfectly. They have depth. They have the shooting. You mentioned it. They have the toughness. I'm telling you right now, this team's going to win the NBA Finals. Mark my words. I think this team is really good, and I don't know that I spot a flaw in this team. I really don't.
You're on a Heat wagon to go all the way. A big man on campus kicking it with us on Sports Rage late night. So we talked on Friday night, and as we were talking about how the pandemic's going to affect different teams in different ways, different players in different ways, and series is in different ways. And, you know, you look, big man, Oklahoma City had a little bit of momentum. They won the two games in a row. James Harden was starting to get worn out and tired and frustrated. Jeff Green, who was red hot earlier, remembered, you know, Jeff Green's numbers went back to being Jeff Green. You know what I mean? Gordon and Tucker. Like, you know, when you play my Houston style, you know, they're not going to hit. They're not going to shoot 40 or 45% from three every game. So, but Oklahoma City sort of had something going on, but then they shut things down for a couple of more days and they get Westbrook back and then there's a beating. What about this series? Does OKC have anything left in them?
You know, this has been a weird series, man. I mean, you have two games where Houston just looks unbeatable, and then the Thunder come back, and they look unbeatable. And then game five comes, and it's just, you know, I thought for the second quarter, I thought the Thunder got back into it. Everything was good. It was a close game at the half. And then they scored, you know, 35 points in the second half. I mean, they're just – there isn't much right now for the Thunder offensively. I mean, they're just – there isn't much there. I mean, Gilgeous Alexander gave them nothing. Gallinari has been a mess.
They have to work too hard for their points, don't they?
Nothing.
Like, they need perfection
for
everybody. Is it a good way of putting it? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
They need perfection. They need Schroeder to score 26. They need Alexander to score 23. Like, they need perfection from everybody. It's just hard for them.
Yeah, they can't keep up. I mean, it's pretty simple. I mean, and for me, it's hard to cap the Thunder or the Rockets just because of their variance from a three-point perspective. You know, some nights they make every shot, and then the next night they can, and they struggle staying in front of defenders. But in those two, in games three and four, they just couldn't stop the Thunder. I don't really know what they did defensively to fix it, but this has been a weird series to handicap. I haven't gotten involved really much with it at all. It just has been tough for me. I haven't found much. I don't know how the Thunder get off the mat here. It seems like with Russell Westbrook back, they're just a little bit more dynamic offensively, the Rockets now. Yeah, I'm not gonna step in front of Houston here. I think they probably finish the series out. You're right. You hit it on the head. Thunder need everything to go right, and even if everything goes right with Adams, Gallinari, Paul, those guys, they still just don't have enough. Dennis Schroeder can't do everything for this team, and you have too many guys in this lineup. Dort, Gallinari, even like guys like Baisley, they just don't give you a whole lot offensively. So, yeah, they need to go out in the offseason. They need to grab some scorers, some guys that get buckets. They don't have enough.
Gallinari's been a disappointment. You're right. He doesn't hit shots. He's got open looks. He doesn't hit them. I mean, and you know he has to. So they're getting 5.5. Houston lay 5.5. In this game. Total's 226.5. We talked about Miami and Milwaukee. It's now 5-223. The Bucks lay 5 to the Heat. Those games are tomorrow, and then we get to Tuesday. Toronto Raptors minus 1.5 point favorites over the Boston Celtics. Total 216. And game 7, the Utah Jazz open up at 1 as 1-point favorites. Minus 1, Utah Jazz. I jumped on the Nuggets. Why? You know, I was on Utah earlier in the series, and I sort of saw the tide, turning here. So I jumped on the Nuggets. No need to make a pick on this right now. But man, the way things are going, I'm not gonna write Utah off. But I think the wrong team is favored here. I mean, if Utah have a bad first quarter, like did you see Mitchell? Like he tipped the bike over after he started smashing things. He's getting pissed off, yeah. Bro. I mean, the guy's scoring 50 plus. He scored and they lose. He scores 44 today. And, you know, like you said, Joe Ingles got 5 points. It's like he's getting frustrated. We'll continue the conversation on the other side. But Mitchell's starting to get frustrated now, big man.
Yeah, and, you know, for me, it's simple. With Gary Harris back defensively, they can also bring guys like P.J. Dozier in to play defense. I've been impressed with the Nuggets over the last 5 quarters defensively. They started to figure it out, I think. I agree with you. I think the wrong team's favored as well. I'll actually grab the one right now. I think they're going to be favorites by game time.
Good. Denver Nuggets, good call. It's not going to stay this way. Denver Nuggets plus 1. Right now, Sports Rage Late Night continues. Vent your rage. Bring it.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Rage it up. Sports Rage with Gabe Morenci. Rage all you want.
Sports Rage Late Night. Continue. Spent your rage. Talking NBA basketball, though, we are going to get into some football as well. John Rahm. How about that? John Rahm, 66-footer. 66-footer at 66-1 as well. Touch on a little baseball, but we got college football news. We've got the NFL's around the corner. It's time to start, banging the National Football League this week. We'll start getting you some bets. I don't know, like as far as futures are concerned, it's tough. You know, win losses, big man says win losses this year. So if you're betting win totals, says 16 games must be played, and I don't know. Was every team going to play 16 games this year? That's hard to guarantee that, big man. I'll tell you what. And not to mention as well, I know you're going to be real happy about this, but now NFL players almost feel like they owe a boycott or something now. And it's like, really? Like, don't worry, guys. You'll have something else to protest in the future, all right? We don't need to go back in time here for the NFL. But, I don't know. Like, even like the Giants and Steelers game on Monday Night Football. Is that, you know, the Giants have already sort of dropped it that, yeah, it's not out of the realm of possibility that they don't play. So it'll be interesting for win futures, but I am into the division stuff, big man. And we'll get into this with the Philadelphia Eagles and the Dallas Cowboys. But with the Cowboys being the only team with fans, with the roster that they have, they're the only team with fans in a division. And you know Abbott's probably going to say 50% capacity or something. They're going to end up with like 45,000 people in there, big man. And the Eagles, you guys won't have any fans. The Giants don't have any fans. Washington don't have any fans, literally and figuratively, but they already announced they don't have, they're not allowing people in all year anyways. I don't see how the Cowboys don't win this division, big man.
Yeah, I agree with you. And I'm sure we'll get into it on the other side. I'll quickly say this. If Central Arkansas and Austin Peay can have fans, it's pretty clear. If you have a 40,000-seat stadium, there's no problem having 10,000 people in there. It's ridiculous that these places aren't having fans. Makes no sense.
I agree. I don't think there's a problem either. If it's 20%, 15, 20% capacity, I get it. I just don't like that some teams do, some teams don't. We'll hit this on the other side. Bring it.
Ever wondered how a book gets made into a movie?
Or how to master the art of cooking?
Either way, we've got you covered with the Two Guys from Hollywood podcast. I'm Alan Nevins, a literary agent and talent manager.
And I'm Joey Santos, a columnist and celebrity chef.
On our podcast, we're going to be serving you a fresh perspective of the entertainment industry alongside our favorite celebrity guests.
As we like to say, we don't dish, we serve.
Listen and follow Two Guys from Hollywood on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll talk at you soon.